For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's March 2nd, 2023. Fightful.com. It's time. Oh, baby. It's time for your Impact Wrestling Post Show. I'm at Joel Pearl, and I am joined, as always, by my number one, my ride or die, my favorite co-host, sorry, Ella, sorry, Kate. It's Cressa Star. Cressa, how you doing?
I'm feeling very Booker T today. I'm feeling very shucky ducky quack quack. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm happy. I really enjoyed this episode of Impact Wrestling. I'm in a good mood.
Hold on. Time out. Before we go any further, is that Iron Maiden shirt?
Yes, this is an Iron Maiden
shirt. So cool. I was going to wear a black pink shirt. I know they're not related, but on some level, we were thinking the same thing.
That they're the best?
Music. Music bands.
Music bands?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was like, is that what I think it is?
It is. What's your what's your favorite? Who's your go-to musically? You're commuting. You're off to the gig. What are you listening to?
Evanescence, probably off the top of my head. Evanescence, pick a dart, any year, any album. I probably know it. You?
I mean, I'm a big Maiden fan, so that's my thing. But I don't know. I like a ton of different music. I did an interview with Rob and Maggie doing Coexisting After Dark over on Fightful Select. We'll talk more about Select, but I did their post show, and I talked a lot about my musical background, because I think most people know that before the pandemic, I was a professional full-time touring musician.
So you're him. You're really that guy. Listen, let me show you my mixtape. I'm a rapper. So
can I tell you, so the year is 2005. I'm an 18-year-old kid in Ottawa, Canada. My band is doing relatively well. Of course, we're all in high school. Everyone's doing well. But anyway, we went to go see Motorhead, okay, at the Capitol Music Hall in Ottawa, Canada. And I knew one of the roadies in Motorhead's band. And I was like, I'm gonna give my CD to this roadie and be like, give it to Lemmy. I want Lemmy to hear my band. Do you think Lemmy ever got that CD or heard my band?
I mean, you can DM him.
No, I can't, because he is long dead.
I was going to say, I don't know if that man is alive, because that's a band from like the 80s, 90s, and we know how they gave it up back then. So, listen, if you were a band before 2001, we know how you gave it up. So
it's just it. Yeah, M.A. Sulko jumps us with a super chat. Has anyone seen Joel and the Demon at the same time? Buddy, if I had the athletic abilities of the person who wears the demon costume, I would be a rich man. By the way, go ahead. No, no.
We'll say, M.A. Sulko, I see you. Don't feel anything, because the mustache is right here, baby. I decided to keep it casual tonight, but I don't know. It's not going to stay on, but... It's still here. It's here.
Sulko was too busy at the tapings in Vegas at No Surrender and at the Fallout and having a blast that he didn't get to see your mustachioed face.
I have so much respect for people with mustaches and beards, because it's stuck like this now. But to get it stuck like this, and it was originally like wee wee. It's so much work. And besides, like, sweat, I respect y'all, man. That's so much work. I will never make fun of a man and his mustache ever again. My friend said it best. We would like them to be brothers. Sometimes they're cousins. A lot of the times they're neighbors.
Here's the thing about this. Your entire, like, preface is that we take off the beard and mustache. This is not something that just kind of... wax on, wax off. No, this thing, it grows in and it stays. I can't just, if I pull this shit, it hurts, okay?
You can't do this.
No, I can't. In fact, I need to trim it, because that's just where we're at.
I think you should grow it out. to sacrifice so you can King Booker it.
Hold on. We got to talk about it. So Salto says he missed night 1 and 3 because of the weather. George Iceman, absolutely. Did you win? I'm upset. I'm upset for you. I'm upset at George Iceman, but I'm not upset at y'all leaving a thumbs up on this video right now. And if you're watching us over, maybe on Facebook.com/ I think it's Fightful Online, whatever it is. If you're on Fightful, the YouTube channel, leave us a thumbs up. If you're on the Facebook group, leave us a thumbs up. Wherever you are, go ahead, do the thumbs up thing. And while you're at it, you can donate a super chat if you're in that position to do so. It's that little dollar sign over in the chat box at youtube.com/Fightful. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. Or you can donate a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. I preface this with, because the Ring of Honor post show is currently going on, if you're going to donate a Humper Chat, just put IMP for Impact and then your question. And then we'll all know who's asking what questions. Cresta, how can they do it?
You're going to mosey your fingers. Was that so loud? I'm sorry. You're going to mosey your fingers on down over to humperchats.com. Type in any donation amount. Make sure you type IMP, IMP, and then your question, and myself or Joel will read it loud on air. We will show you our dyslexia and you'll get a cackle. We'll get a laugh. We'll get a little bit more of the cut. And Sean Ross Sapp won't cut us off like the bad children we are. Humperchats.com.
I'd rather he cut us in than cut us off. So let's get right into it. We got to talk BTI and the aforementioned George Iceman, who comes back and announces that Josh Alexander versus Kushida will be up for the Impact World title March 30th at Multiverse United. Very much looking forward to that show as we inch closer to it. And then he mentions animosity within the design, the chair shot heard around the Impact universe, around Sam's Town, I guess. Around,
they heard it somewhere.
Around YouTube, Callahan hitting Big Con with the chair. Was it an accident? Maybe it wasn't. What will Diener have in store for Callahan? And then the match, they get right to it. Decay takes on Heath and Rhino. It's a fun little show. Fun little tag match for Decay, mm-hmm. Heath and Rhino. Gia Miller's back on commentary. And she puts on, so she has a Southern drawl, but she really puts it on for these matches.
Oh, she's a clown. I love it.
A little bit. I like her. She's wonderful. Really, really solid match. It basically ends with Rhino getting a good spear on Crazy Steve after missing one and spearing his tag team partner by accident. Rhino pins Crazy Steve, gets the win. What do you think of this match? Was it anything special for you?
I did not know. I wanted to see Rhino versus Black Taurus just this much until they got to the ring. And I was like, wait a minute. It was nice to see someone go power for power with Black Taurus, but to me it was a fairly decent match. I kind of thought Decay was going to win. Not mad at Heath and Rhino winning, but at the same time, I like Decay. I'm always going to be I'm always going to be partial, I should say.
Yeah, and as long as G is there, I'm happy. She's real good at what she does, and then Heath and Rhino, they're good. You know, they're good hands. Heath is someone that you can trust to do literally anything. You want someone to take the legends, you know, and treat them well and get beat down by them, you call Heath. You want someone to train with The Rock before WrestleMania, you call Heath. It's like, he is the guy that he's all reliable in the best way possible. And then Rhino is Rhino. You can't, come on.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I've been cutting everyone off today. I've just been interrupting Cal today.
The New York in you, I swear to God.
But.
Rhino is shaped like this Pepsi bottle. Okay? That's all he needs to know.
It's true. It's true.
Go ahead.
I did enjoy Crazy Steve literally just being crazy in the beginning. And Heath was like, what the hell? And then the crowd randomly just starts chanting, he got kids? Because yo, Impact crowd, on some nights, the taping, some people's always screaming. But on other nights, I thought tonight they were fantastic. Every time they started chanting something, it was right on time. And I thought that moment right there is indicative to how much Impact, loyal, the Impact faithful, love Impact. Because only, unless you know, you know.
Do you know the He Got Kids storyline?
I was not watching Impact nor WWE at that time.
Okay, so this was WWE. This was in the brand split from 2016. Heath and Rhino team up, and Heath's whole thing is, I got kids and I'm trying to support my kids. I need a contract. I need to be a part of the roster, yada, yada, yada. So that's what the whole thing with Heath was, he's got kids and he's got to support them. And he lives on a trailer park. Of course he does. They did a whole bunch of stuff. There's an infamous scene where they go to the double wide and Rhino is eating like Cheez-Its, or no, he's eating Cheese Whiz on like Simple Crackers. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's good stuff. So see, just search that out if you want. That's why they're chanting he's got.
How many kids Heath got? 9? 12?
Depends who you ask. You ask Heath, he says how many you need.
It's kind of like that Jeff Jarrett number. How much did you swindle him? Depends on who you ask.
Who's to say? Impact, let's open up the show. Ace of Base come out. I said it once when the Good Brothers were part of Impact. I'll say it now. Ace of Base every week come out. That Bullet Club jacket. If you know where to find me one, please tell me. Just hit me up at Joel Pearl because I'm looking for that jacket. It is a badass looking jacket.
Yes.
Yeah. They call themselves ABC, the Ace and Bay Connection. Well, no, they're still Ace of Bays to us, so we're going to keep calling them that. Bay runs down his history at Sam's Town because he is a Las Vegas resident. Says he used to set up the ring, made his official Impact debut in this building. He competed for the X Division and tag titles for the first time in Las Vegas. And now Ace of Bays beat Time Machine this past week at No Surrender, including Time Machine, of course, includes the Motor City Machine Guns, who are the New Japan Strong and Impact World Tag Team Champions, said they beat him in this building. And then Ace Austin says he debuted at Sam's Town in Las Vegas. Bay says, I was in the crowd. And then Ace says, I beat Chris Sabin, and he's wearing the t-shirt. He brought the I beat Chris Sabin t-shirt back. I love that. Popped me real good. I said, I beat Chris Sabin in this building. Both men put over Motor City Machine Guns. Say really nice things. And then they say, who's the best tag team in Impact Wrestling? And then they say they are. Not Motor City, it's Bullet Club. So they survey the audience, and then Motor City comes back. They're like, hey, we started teaming in 2006. Ace of Base, you were nothing but a couple of positive pregnancy tests. And then they talk about Motor City Machine Guns, talk about paving their path, being the best tag team in the entire world. Ace Austin is like, well, we haven't had our fair shot yet. We just want a one-on-one. So Bay challenges Motor City Machine Guns to a match at Sacrifice. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't feel right. And then Shelly is like, well, you guys are just doing your best Motor City Machine Gun impersonation. All you had to do was do step by step and then be like IKEA furniture and you get your shot. And of course, then they start chanting IKEA in the crowd. That was strange.
Two out of 10. That was funny, but yeah. Also 2 out of 10.
And then Shelly's like, hey, how about instead of at Sacrifice, we'll do it tonight. They shake on it. So it's on. I was under the impression that it would then be next week, but no. It was the main event tonight, and what a main event. We'll talk about that as we get there. I'm gonna flip the script for a second. First of all, this promo, how did you feel? Was this for you? What did you think of the opening with Ace of Base and Motor City Machine Guns to set up the main event?
I like that they came out first, and I feel like it was a good victory lap, especially after beating on Time Machine. I was actually quite surprised that they were going to do it tonight. And in that first moment, I was like, are they going to win? I was kind of, will they, won't they? Because I know Impact is good for, we really want to build up whoever is going to be the next person to hold whatever championship it is, with the exception of the digital media. That's just my opinion. Fight me in the comments, whatever. But I think with that exception, they build up whoever it is a lot, a lot, a lot. So it wouldn't make sense. But at the same time, it's like, why would you not crown Chris Bay in his hometown? And that was a recurring theme. Anytime they spoke about the Bullet Club was Chris Bay's hometown. Ace Austin had opportunities here. They kept bringing it up, especially too when Kenny King wrestled on tonight as well. So I was pleasantly surprised. I was ready for it at Sacrifice. Or isn't there one before Sacrifice?
No, Sacrifice is the next Impact show. And then the week after that, it's Multiverse United with New Japan Pro Wrestling. So we've got a few weeks of TV to cover until we get to Sacrifice.
I'm not mad at it. I'm glad they did it tonight. But sometimes, like when I hear things like this in my little nerdy mind, it's like, so what was your main event gonna be? So you ain't had nothing planned? For shame.
Well, one could say that they had originally planned the PCO versus Trey Miguel match. That could have been, that was an advertised major match. So that could have been it. But of course, we'll talk about where that match went and how we felt about that. Ryan Sullivan with the super chat calling me an imp.
I mean, you did say humperchats.com. Make sure you put int in front of your comment so we'll read it live on air.
And that's why I have Cresta. Yes, in the business. And I do see in the chat, they're talking about there was a lack of knockouts matches. There were there was a lack of women's matches tonight. That is not lost on me. There are some weeks where you're not going to see certain divisions represented. And unfortunately, this was one of those weeks where the knockouts weren't. However, I do think that the segments that they ran ended up being kind of like good enough to set up a major match or two down the line.
Yeah.
I see it in the chat, and I do agree. Like, it sucks when you don't see the Impact's wrestling. When the Impact knockouts when they're not wrestling on the show. But overall, it was there. And yeah, there was just no match, but there were a few segments which I enjoyed. Speaking of which, Rich Swann is backstage with Gia Miller. This is where I say I flipped the switch because I know it's actually the Shane Hayes thing, but we're going to talk about him in a second. He says that he lost. It doesn't sit right with him, but he's not going to let it deter him. He's still focused on the Impact World Championship. And then he's cut off by Raj Singh. He's bribing camera operators to keep cameras on him because apparently he and Shira hit it big in Vegas. Thank God for that. So Swan's like, hey, your luck ran out because I'm going to beat your asses. Mm-hmm. Raj says, nah, maybe later, because right now the roulette table is calling my name. Cute little segment. I'm sure we'll just set up a match with Raj and with Rich Swann. What do you think of this thing?
My problem with this segment and a few other segments is that the segments this week overbooked, baby. This one was the least offensive of it. But I think before that, she was talking to Josh Alexander she was talking to Rich Swann. I gotta double check my notes. It was Rich Swann. And then, she was talking to Josh Alexander before the break. Then it was Rich Swann. And then Rich Swann gets interrupted. I'm like, what is?
So it was the haste and then Swann. Mm-hmm. And then Haste has his match. And we'll talk about that in a minute. The Alexander thing was later on. Mm-hmm. And that was when Macklin walks in.
Yeah, like there was. To me, over every backstage thing tonight was degrees of this. What are we doing here? This is really overbooked. Like, this, to get to the point, you didn't have to have 80 people come in and do the hokey pokey, then turn yourself around. So
fair. I hear you on that. Dobby the Brain Heenan with a super chat saying knockouts dominate plenty of the weekly shows and will still represent it. Plus, I assume Mickey versus Giselle gets some good time next week. And I agree. It's a different Giselle show. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But first, Cresta, we have to talk about promo of the year. Shane Hayes is with Gia Miller. TMDK's just, oh my God, amazing Shane Hayes.
I did not understand anything that man said, and my grandmother is a West Indian woman, and I was looking at him like, what is he saying? Is it me, Jesus?
So he's like, first of all, he says he's going to be at Multiverse United, and TMDK apparently are going to be there as well, which is good news. Shane says, I'm here to make an impact, pun intended, and Mike Bailey is in for a fight with these fists, and if I need to, I will Angie Kai, wait, you're Karate Kid 3. No, 4. What's the worst one? You're the worst one. So that's what you got tonight. Hi-ya! And it was just the best promo ever. I have never laughed so hard at the stupid shit that wrestling gives us. That did it. Cresta, why is Shane Haste the man? He's making Karate Kid jokes because he's facing Mike Bailey, the Karate Kid.
Part of me wants to be upset. But then the other part of me is like, don't do that, Cresta, because you're really out here saying, but to me, you'll always be Edge's bitch. And those are the same things. They're the same thing. If you are going to be mad at that, then you can't be mad at Swing Daddy, baby. Like, come on now. It's the same thing. I need to warm up to it. Let me warm up to it.
You got to go back and watch it at least 3 more times like I did. He catches himself. He's like, you're Karate Kid 3. No, 4. Wait, what's the worst one? You're the worst one. That alone is worth the price of admission. Shane Hayes is fantastic. And then he goes on and has a fantastic match with Speedball Mike Bailey. True. We'll talk about this match, okay? Like, Hayes intercepting Bailey's middle rope dive, which, by the way, seemed to have been a theme tonight. Gets him with the elbow and then drops Speedball on the ring apron. There's a cool spot where Speedball rolls up Hayes and then rolls him out of the ring, hits his second rope in out moonsault. Haste has a fantastic dropkick, by the way. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's high, it's tight, it's good. It's a good fade. There you go. Dynamic Bomb, which is a high power bomb, gets 2.9 for Haste on Speedball. And then Speedball hits a Poison Rana into the back and forth kicks, goes for the around the world kick, as we call it, and the ultimate weapon, and gets the 3. A great finish. Really enjoyed it. What do you think of the match, and why is Shane Haste the best promo in Impact Wrestling right now?
I don't know about the best promo, but I'll give it time. I'm gonna let it breathe. It might be a big brain. My brain is not this big enough yet. The match was surprisingly good, though. Like, I'm assuming, and I'm flame me in the comments. I don't care. Shane Haste was Shane Thorne formerly, correct?
Yes, the former Slapjack.
Now I see why they never let him talk. Anyway.
Wow, the disrespect.
I'm kidding. I don't know that man. If he suplexed me, all I'm going to do is take it. Because I definitely seen that missile drop kick out the air. What I was going to say, I rarely see Speedball get taken advantage of in a match. And this match, Speedball was going stiff. And he was just stiff right back. Speedball, I don't want to say he eked out a win, but I never see Speedball get just dominated. Because if you dominate Speedball in speed, he got you technically. Shane matched him there. If you got him in technicality, he got you in speed. Shane matching that, and he outpowered him. That was the chemistry between these two. I could watch them fight forever. But that might be a Speedball effect too, because anyone Speedball wrestles, I'm like, fight forever.
Go watch TMDK matches. Go watch some stuff from New Japan from the last little bit with Shane and the boys. TMDK will be represented at Multiverse United. So I look forward to seeing who they're going to face from the Impact side of things. Is there a team that you would do maybe a 3-on-3, bringing in, let's say it's 3 members of TMDK, not 4. Who would you have opposite them? Would you do Speedball and then a couple others? What do you want to do?
I mean, my immediate thought is Time Machine. You know what I mean? You have an established team like that.
They are plus, a match coming up, though.
Man, double book it.
Well, they're going to be it. Yeah, they're going to be it. Sorry, they're going to be at Sacrifice doing a thing.
Also, too, commentary did say that Shane Haste was in Impact like over 10 years ago. So I'm sure we can dig up the remains of SCU to come out of retirement, because I think that'd be pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like, you get, Kazarian's already there. Christopher Daniels is in and out. I have no idea where Scorpio Sky is, but
Select, you'll get an update today.
Well, see the scoops. I'm helping you out. Listen, I'm asking the real questions. Also, too, I'm thinking, who else is a team that's a trio that's been there for a minute that would be really good? I just had a team in my mind and it left my brain.
The design.
It'll come to me.
Oh my god, do the Design versus TMDK.
I mean, you could, but who? Dina gonna wrestle? Just doing this?
Yeah, he'll stand at the top of the ramp and just do his thing.
Book it. Oh, now remember, Team Canada, Scott D'Amore, lace up your boots, Petey Williams, oh my god, I feel Canada. Like a Davey. Who am I missing? Is it Davey? Am I missing? Oh my god, I feel like I'm missing somebody.
Thinking of Eric Young going to reprise his Team Canada gimmick. Is that what we're doing?
Could be. Listen, my Impact knowledge before this is fuzzy at best, but I do know one time Scott D'Amore was coming down there waving a flag. There was the Canadian Destroyer guy. There was someone else and Petey Williams.
Well, Petey's a little busy right now being a producer in WWE, so I don't think they'll be sending him anywhere.
Listen, never say never in professional wrestling.
Chris Daniels is currently making shots for ROH, so who knows? Albert Pons with the Super Chat, Shane on Impact, Zack Sabre Jr. on Ring of Honor, TMDK taking over the wrestling world. We need more Swinger Dice on TV. Yes, we do.
Hashtag,
we got heat.
Yep. I think Zicky Dice should take Santino Morella's role. I think that'll be funny. I think Dango and Zicky Dice should switch roles. I think that'd be funny.
Well, speaking of the design from a minute ago, they've got a little backstage 7 going on. Angel points out that people are thinking that Callahan's trying to infiltrate the design and destroy them from the inside. And you got Diener's is like, ah, I know, I've heard about that. And then Rhino walks in and he's like, hey, we have history. You messed me up. And he dropped the F-bomb and said, because that's what Rhino does. He just, ooh, he drops F-bombs. But because Impact is pre-taped, everything kind of gets filtered out on like when Bryan Danielson drops F-bombs on AEW TV and it barely gets, anyway. So Rhino is like, hey, we have history. I won't stand by and let Diener mess up Callahan without saying something. And then Callahan walks in. He's like, no, they're not manipulating me. I can't do his voice because it hurts. And then he says the design is exactly where he wants to be. And Rhino's like, well, I'll knock some sense into you. That's step six. So Rhino and Callahan next week. Thoughts?
But I did think of another team for the TMDK. Reno Scum.
Reno Scum. I was surprised they weren't on these tapings because, Reno and Vegas and who knows.
I'm just shouting out old Impact things. I'm trying to be cool and hip.
Yeah, you'll bring out Scott Steiner just because, I bet.
Oh, listen, I quote Scott Steiner every day in my true real life. That and the Booker T. There's a microphone literally on my desk where it's like, she's going to press the keyboard. Oh, she signs up the keyboard.
Not the 58.
Oh, Cresta, she signs up the keyboard. Oh, she's bad, man. Cresta Star, why you kick him like that? Cresta, why you do that?
All right. Put down the 58. Kenny King and Kevin Knight had a great little match. Kenny King is from Vegas, so it makes sense he gets the win. They want to push him. I get it. And Kevin Knight's a younger dude. He's a New Japan LA Dojo standout graduate. And he's had a lot of really good matches here on Impact, too. So he's getting ready to move forward.
Yeah.
So good match. Early in the match, they do an up and over, and Knight almost knocks down the camera guy. And then King, after he kind of takes down Kevin Knight, runs to the other side of the ring and yells at the camera guy, just like, get out of the way. I love that. Little shit like that just popped me every time. Knight gets some great pinfall roll-ups, gets a good pump kick in. There's a springboard crossbody that he hits. It looks solid. And then eventually, Kenny King hits the Royal Flush, gets the win after a big top rope in Suguri. What do you think of the match? I thought this was a really, really solid outing for Kevin Knight and a standout win for Kenny King.
I wrote in my notes, this is a match of the K alliterations. You had Kevin Knight and Kenny King. It just reminded me of an uncle and a nephew getting too drunk, mixing it up in the backyard. It was funny, but not funny in the ha-ha sense, but like they matched each other so well. So it was one of those like, huh, I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that. And I was pleasantly surprised. Kenny King every week, even though he's a cocky jerk, shows me a different side. And I'm really impressed with him. And I'm also impressed with Kevin Knight. I cannot wait to see what else he does. Because every time Kenny tried to outpower him, this poor boy, well, I mean, he did, that backbreaker was gnarly. But he was able to counter it 90% of the time. But all it takes is that one time and woof. But it was good. I liked it. I thought it was a really good match.
Yeah, it was a solid match, and we'll see what goes on next with Kenny King. Because, I mean, Kevin Knight, he's fine. He's not going for the world title, but he's certainly starting to kind of make his way up the ranks. Him and Trey would have one hell of an X Division championship match. Give that a little bit of time. You know what? Since I'm gonna be at Rebellion in April, that's a match I would like to see. Maybe if they do an Ultimate X match, but Kevin Knight in the Ultimate X match. He's tall too, which makes it even more fun.
Send a letter to your dad, Scott D'Amore. Say, Dad, book it.
Daddy's too busy trying to book Mercedes Moné and Mickey James.
I respect it. He's for the culture. I respect it. Good job, Dad.
Wow. Josh Alexander is with GM Miller backstage. So I guess there's not going to be any world title match at the next big Impact show. By the way, do you know which show is coming up next for Impact? Don't tell the people. I got it here.
Sacrifice! 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 Sacrifice!
That's right. You've seen that one a lot. Sacrifice is the next show.
I have never seen that clip. Oh, I need you to send that to me expeditiously. That is funny.
I'm glad I got you there. Rob stole that one from me, by the way. That was my gimmick for when Sacrifice was happening last year. I was like, oh, I'm all over this shit. Let's go. Anyway, Josh says the challenge is keeping the title. You can win the title, but the challenge is keeping it. And now he puts over Kushida, and they're going to face each other at Multiverse United. So Kushida and Josh Alexander for the Impact World Championship. And then he says, I want to do a six-man tag at Sacrifice. Time Machine versus Alexander and friends. So he's got to find two friends. presumably Motor City Machine Guns, unless Ace of Base has another tag title shot against them. Or you know, we'll get to that in a minute. Uh-huh. Yeah. Alexander and Ace of Base, that wouldn't be bad. It felt like they were kind of turning them a little bit tonight. But who knows? Either way, Alexander and two friends versus Time Machine at Sacrifice seems to be the play. Sounds good. And then in walks Steve Macklin, and he's like, wherever the title is, I'll be there. And I'm like, did you put an air tag on the title? And like, you're just following that shit around with your phone? Oh, it's like 20 feet away. I got to do a thing. I know where I'm going. Macklin wants to beat the longest reigning Impact World Champion in history. He wants Alexander to hold on to that title all the way to Rebellion so the two can have their match. What'd you think of this Alexander and Macklin exchange?
This one wasn't so bad of the backstage segments. It was straightforward, but again, I am Team Macklin. You are giving everybody else. Now, I understand the Kushida thing because y'all had your match. You had to get your lick back. I get it. But even then, I don't get it. Even then, I don't get it. Also, as far as the two friends are going, I could see it being like a Rich Swann and an, I don't know, another Kazarian. I could see something like that. You have a bunch of champions. Yeah.
That's actually a really good call. I didn't think about those two.
Because like Rich Swann and him, we're friends. Like, and a Kazarian, you know, I'm here to do things and keep my name relevant. So to me, that makes more sense than involving another tag team just to do some single shenanigans. Because let's be real here. It's just to drive an Alexander talking point. Single shenanigans. Jesus Christ. So that's what I would say. I didn't hate it. But again, if I am Macklin, everybody else but Macklin is getting a shot. And I finally earned the right to sacrifice. But yeah, to challenge you at Sacrifice, and still everybody else is somehow getting a shot but me. What is the truth? I'm mad. I will now I'm stalking you. Now I'm literally stalking you because I want to fight you.
So one thing that was really good is that they made the match for Rebellion after No Surrender. When Macklin won his number one contendership, they said the match is happening at Rebellion. And at that point, I was like, well, then what are they going to do at Sacrifice? This is fine. Doing a six-man, like, there's probably going to be a bigger Knockouts championship match. And we know that there is, and we'll talk about it. Uh-huh. But, like, the world champion can easily be in a different feud that kind of pushes the Multiverse United match, which happens a week later. So, like, why not? Because he's going to have a big... he's going to have a big defense coming up, so why not do something at Sacrifice that's less important but still puts emphasis on another title instead? I think, you know, I still think Sacrifice would be a good show. It doesn't need the world title to anchor it down because it sounds like other matches will instead.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. But again, like, my only sentiment was, like, if I'm Macklin in that moment, it's like, it feels like a lot of hoops, you know what I mean?
Oh, he went through every single hoop imaginable. The only thing that he should be upset about is that at Multiverse United, he's got to sit and wait again for another championship match to end. And what's frustrating for us is that, like, we know that Kushida's not going to suddenly win the Impact World Championship. This is kind of similar, but not to what just happened in Montreal with Sami Zayn and Reigns, right? We know Cody's getting the shot at WrestleMania. You wouldn't take the title off your longest reigning champion in years by having him lose the month before the biggest show or one of the biggest shows. So,
and unlike in that situation, there's no buffer of, well, this person has two titles, so we'll just give him one. You know what I mean? There's only one Impact Championship. We're not pulling a Moose. We didn't find the TNA thing in the garbage and picking that up. We've done that already. We unified that. That's done.
No eBay titles for us.
To this day, I still can't believe we were like, yo, where'd you find that? Moose was like, I'm champion. How? That company don't exist. Where did you find this?
Bought it from a guy off Pakistani eBay. What do you want?
Moose is super underrated as a comedy act. As a comedy act.
We'll talk about Moose in a minute because there's some good stuff. Busted Open Island. Let's take a trip, I guess. Dr. Ross is back, who is absolutely my favorite gimmick doctor in the entire wrestling industry because he's consistent, if nothing else. He says that Tommy suffered retinal damage and burns. He's being kept at home. And then Bully shows up, and I'm like, oh, here we go. He says, how's he doing? And he says, he's got burns. How's his cholesterol? He has minor burns. How's his weight? He has minor burns. More fat jokes, more minor burns. And then you get it? You get it? It's Bully. He's making minor burns to That's the joke. He's Burn. Anyway, Bully wants to kill Tommy Dreamer is basically what he insinuates. And then Bhupinder Gujar shows up and he confronts confronts Bully, says nobody. And then Bully's like, I don't care. Nobody cares where you're going to be in 10 years. And then Gujar stands up for Dreamer, says what Bully did was low even for Bully. And then Bully's like, back off. I respect you sticking up for someone. Easy for me to say. And he slaps Bhupinder Gujar and Gujar goes ballistic. Like, it's like if someone just like turns around and calls you a bitch. Just what do the five fingers say to this? What do the five fingers say to the face? That's it. And then Gujar went nuts and I loved it. But then Gujar made the cardinal sin of yelling, I'm going to kill you. But that's whatever. That's neither here nor there. What do you think of this busted open island segment? And Gujar is joining the island.
Overbooked. 1-800 overbooked. I mean, the doctor was the best. Cause he was just like minor burns. And I've been trying to warm up to Bully, but tonight I was like, all right, old man, now I'm back on. You gotta go island. You gotta go because this was unnecessary. And also Bhupinder Gujar, Mr. Gujar. Can I call you Mr. Gujar?
He's not here.
Well, if you're seeing this, if you're Tommy Dreamer's friend, when Tommy Dreamer was getting clapped up for them other weeks by Bully Ray, where were you? Everybody is somebody's friend. Same thing with Josh Alexander. When Josh Alexander and these people getting clapped up, where are you people? Yes, people like you. That's my friend. After they're in the hospital, some friends. If you were his friend, you would have ran out last week. If you were his friend, you would have interrupted the Busted Open radio segment. Also, are you really Tommy Dreamer's friend? I need answers. I need answers and pictures of Spider-Man.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Speaking of mustachioed people, our friend Kate Elizabeth sends a super chat. I'm not gonna put it on the screen because she has her shoot name here. Where did Chris's mustache go?
Everybody just listen. It do take a lot of money to look this cheap. It's gonna fall. I have eyelash glue that, you know what? For you guys, I'll expose the business. For you guys, because honestly, I love you all. And everyone's been asking, and we've got super chats. So, live on air, Joe B. All right, I'm ready.
Audio.
I'm sorry.
The 10 people who listen to us will love this.
I love all 10 of you. And if you can't see, head on over to youtube.com/Fightful. You can see Crest the Star becoming Super Mario in 8K.
It's Mario Day next week. Anyway.
It is.
They're going to do video games for $25 and I'm all for it. Mickey James has a promo. He says, hey, I'm still the champ, even after people said that Masha Slamovich is going to kill me. Once again, there's a lot of talk of killing on this week's episode of Wrestling. Don't know what happened. And now there's unfinished business with Mickey and Jordan Grace in that hard-to-kill tap-out spot. And then out comes Giselle Shaw with Jay Vidal and Savannah Evans. Savannah is the new director of security. I'm such a fan of this. It's great.
I cried laughing when I heard that.
There were some awkward AF edits in this particular promo. I don't know what happened, but suddenly there were just like what felt like jump cuts in the edit of the audio and video. So some went weird. I don't know what it was, but Giselle brings up the tap out and says that Mickey is ducking her. And then Mickey's like, well, I beat Giselle Shaw. And then Giselle's like, no, you beat a Giselle Shaw, but not this Giselle Shaw that beat Deonna Purrazzo at No Surrender. Giselle wants the Knockouts title. And then when Mickey's done with Jordan Grace, she's next in line. Mickey's like, no, there's no reason to wait unless you're trying to put Jordan Grace in front of me because you're afraid to get your ass beat by hardcore country. And then Giselle's like, no, I'm just not dressed to compete tonight. So we're good. And then Mickey's like, well, I am, and I'll beat your ass right now. So instead, out comes Gail Kim and makes the match official, but makes it, I guess, for next week. And nobody cleared that up for the live crowd. So that's regardless, it's next week. They're going to do Giselle and Mickey, and they're going at it on Twitter right now. I'm watching them go back and forth. So next week that match is going to happen. What do you think of the segment? Did it do it for you?
I'm going to talk about what I liked about the segment first. Gail Kim's outfit and Giselle Shaw outfit. Everyone's makeup. Mm-hmm. But this segment can be broken down like this. Mickey James, I still champion, ho. Y'all thought I was going to lose. Now back to this whole Jordan Grace, who had a lot to say about me in the press. A wild Giselle Shaw appeared. But in my opinion, Giselle Shaw, Jay Vidal, and Savannah Evans was giving me big Team Rocket vibes. So here comes Team Rocket coming down the ramp. And Giselle Shaw's like, you know, I'm going to ruin you too. I'm like, Giselle Shaw, what's transpiring here? I feel like Masha's going to beat you up for trying to even attempt to get ahead of this girl before she gets a rematch. So...
They're putting you over in the chat, and I hate it.
Listen, it's crooked. It's about to come off, and I appreciate you guys. For what it's worth, I'll do anything. Well, not anything, but most things for a gimmick. If we get enough super chats and humper chats for sacrifice, I was telling Joel, I'll come like Scott Steiner, but I'll really come like Scott Steiner. We got to set a goal. Like, I mean it.
maybe I don't know, man. Maybe you just want to come for some scoops over at FightfulSelect.com. Let's go. $5. Let's go. All you get is the best exclusive news. You get the best exclusive content. If you want to know the multitude of pitches for Brock Lesnar's WrestleMania plans, go to FightfulSelect.com. If you want Keith Lee interview notes before the Grapsody Boys drop that interview tomorrow, go to FightfulSelect.com. If you want to ask the Grapsody Boys anything, go to FightfulSelect.com. And there's tons of AEW news coming out ahead of Revolution. And if you see Kate in the chat, well, her and Alex are going to be hosting a post show while Sean and Julie Cutler are doing the post show here at Fightful on YouTube. Over on Fightful Select, they'll be doing Kate and Alex a post show of their own. Will they like the show? Will they not like the show? Either way, they'll be entertaining. $5, get your news, get your content. Everything you want, FightfulSelect.com. Cresta, best $5 in the business? Yes or no?
Yes. I always tell people, like I do with the Impact stuff, when it comes to Fightful, all your favorite people are going to report what we already report. So skip a step. Best $5. And you don't, listen, if you want to spend more than $5, we got $10 tiers, got $25 tiers.
We got a $1,500 tier. Get in on it. Get it. Come on, let's go. FightfulSelect.com. By the way, if y'all want to sponsor this show, let me know.
Period.
I will segue anything. Maybe even better than Sean Ross Sapp. Just saying.
I just show up and yell.
Speaking of which, Brian Myers is in the back. He's talking to someone putting over the Major Players podcast. And he's like, and if you do all these things, we can also be successful, just like you. And he's like, I'm just a truck driver. And he walks away. And Brian Myers is like, it's all you're ever going to be. And then Moose walks in. He's like, hey, Impact still has a Joe Hendry problem. And Myers is like, I'm not doing your dirty work. You did that with my best friend, Matt Cardona, and he's gone now. Got him all up in crazy eyes. Anyway, Moose is like, I want to help you Brian Myers win the Digital Media Championship. You never had your rematch. And also, I want to humiliate Joe Hendry. And he knows that Myers can get on board for that. And then he walks away. What are we doing here, Cresta? What's going on?
Let me tell you something, brother. You can't out-Riz Joe Hendry. I was on YouTube. I see what he did to Scotty Too Hotty. This man has music videos for days. You, Brian Myers, this ain't what you want. This ain't what you want. Do not get manipulated by Moose. Moose got embarrassed twice. Don't do it. Don't do it. Also, when he said, you know, Impact has a Joe Hendry problem, he said, no, you have a Joe Hendry problem. You do, not me. You. So, yeah, I think Brian Myers is about to get swindled into doing something. And we're about to get another piece of my poor mustache is giving up the ghost. I tried, y'all. I have too much makeup already. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It don't grow out my face. I think we're about to get another cinematic, beautiful thing. Will we get a new song about Brian Myers? Yes.
I got you.
You were indie famous, now you're really rich, but to me you will always be Edge's bitch.
Why did God, I'm so glad we do this show.
I want Joe Hendry to come on this show and just sing for 40 minutes.
Jordan Grace is backstage. Dirty Dango is setting up crime scene tape. By the way, super serious wrestler Dirty Dango setting up crime scene tape backstage. And then Jordan walks over it and is like, hey, I'm confronting Santino about this Knockouts title match that was just made between Giselle Shaw and with Mickie James. Uh-huh. And he's like, I'm going to invoke my rematch clause immediately. So Santino is like, okay, so Sacrifice is when you're going to have your Knockouts title match. Okay, it's a little awkward, but they got there, I guess. And so Jordan walks out. She's like, okay, whatever. I'll face the winner of next week's Giselle Shaw and Mickie James match. And then in walks our favorite. Swingman's back. He's upset about the 50 match.
He didn't walk in.
You're right. He just strolled in, rolled
slid
in. over the tape and over. You're right. Thank you. And he's upset about the 50 match win streak. He says, I thought you and me were Viano's daddy, which popped me tremendously. God bless the Viano's.
Swingman, what are Viano's? Am I...
This is they're a luchador brothers who were big in AAA and in WCW later on. But yeah, that was, yeah, the Viano's are I can't even explain to it. They're historical. They are legendary. And one of them just lost their mask to Penta El Cerro Miedo in AAA last year.
Learning wrestling lore with Joel. This should be its own podcast. I learned so much.
dude was 50. Oh God, he was in his mid 50s when he finally lost that match and retired. But anyway, says, I thought we were Viano's daddy, and I laughed. Swingman also says that Gene Simmons has had it out for him since the 80s because he wrote all of his songs, and I sat there and cursing the screen because I missed that episode to talk about Live with Y'all while I was in Montreal. But I love that he brought out the demon, brought it up again. And then Santino's like, Swingman, you can have anyone. You can pick a match and have it with anyone. And I'm thinking to myself, we're doing it, Cresta. We're doing the finger poke of doom. We're going to do it. Swingman spends all of his time doing callbacks. He's going to have a match with Zicky Dice, and he's going to do the finger poke of doom.
I thought the same shit. That's how I know we are one. I'm like, if he doesn't pick someone, like, the only person I think he's ever beaten that I've seen was Action Mike Jackson. That was like many moons ago, and that was like on a fluke.
That was in 1986 when he was writing songs for Gene Simmons. He beat Action Mike Jackson.
For those of you listening to our podcast, y'all can't see, but I just closed my eyes to that of a piece of rice to look at Joel like, the lies. But yes, I thought the same thing, like, yo, you're going to Zicky Dice it. And Zicky Dice in that moment is going to be like, I'm just throwing myself on the ground. Or he's gonna be like, Swingman, I thought it'd be disingenuous to you if I didn't actually try.
I'm looking it up. I got to find out. Dirty Dango beats Swinger. Johnny Swinger beats Cody Windham at ASWA.
I thought you were about to say Cody Rhodes. I was about to say, ain't no Adrenaline that in my great. Hole.
Gotta be. Hold on. Let's go. Singles matches. There has to be a win here. Come on.
I feel like I literally just saw this on a random Impact where he like cheated to beat Mike Jackson. listen, we're, ladies and gentlemen, this has come the post-Impact show to what can we learn about Impact live and direct.
Johnny Swinger defeats Larry D when he was Lawrence D in Wrestle House 2. That was 2021, November 25th.
But that's not that far away. So, I mean, come on, that's like 2 years ago. So he hasn't won since then.
He hasn't won in singles. By the way, Ryan Sullivan with the super chat saying, I love Cress's support for the Dice Man.
Listen, either you support the Dice Man or you got heat. And I don't want no heat, man. I don't want no heat.
Man, I don't know who he's going to pick, but I really think that it's Finger Poke Doom thing.
Oh, I do too. I do, without a shadow of a doubt. And if it's not the Finger Poke Doom, it's going the other way, like I said. So he's like, what do you want me to do? I didn't want you to think that I think you're a pushover, so I decided to fight back.
Oh, let's move on. Trey Miguel and PCO have a match. It's fine. Really, this was just to serve Edward Edwards coming out, hitting PCO with a shovel, because they're in Vegas in the desert where Eddie Edwards tried to bury PCO once upon a time. PCO dives through the middle rope, takes out Edward Edwards after the match been thrown out. They do a choke slam to Edwards. Security comes out. PCO sends them flying, climbs to the top rope, hits a PCO assault on security. Edwards had moved out of the way, so he escapes. When are we going to do PCO and Wardlow as a tag team versus the AEW and Impact security is my first question. And second of all, the rest of the match happened. What do you think of Trey Miguel PCO?
I'm going to have to hit you again with a little Uzi Vert. When you said Wardlow and PCO, this ain't what I want. No, this ain't what I want. I don't want that. Also, rest of y'all need to get better security guards because, woof. These security guards, woof. You better off. I saw someone say Lish in the Cosmo. You probably better off having Lish go down there and detain some of these people because these security guards, I don't know how much you pay in them, but it's too much. Trey Miguel also going off that spooky like he did with Black Taurus and Crazy Steve. I don't want to fight this spooky guy. But all I kept thinking is, especially in the beginning when he was just ragdolling Trey Miguel, I was like, oh, when is Edward Edwards coming out? As soon as I saw his little bum-ass feet coming down the ramp, I was like, he probably got a shovel. He had a shovel.
Big-ass shovel. He had to clear the entire top rope so that he could hit the back of PCO. And I'm just like, that is a big-ass shovel. You had to really get there.
Where did you get this? First of all, the camera work was perfect because all you see is Edward's stupid-ass feet. I'm trying to say ass a lot, but I'm sorry. They see his stupid-ass feet, and I'm like, I know that's Eddie Edwards. And then when you finally get the whole zoom, I feel like it was a slow zoom, and then it was comical how big this shovel was because it was just like one of those cartoons. It was like, ooh.
It was large.
So, I mean, I don't know where this is going. Edward Edwards versus PCO. Eddie Edwards gets buried alive. Lish goes crazy. I don't know.
That's the only thing I can think of is they do buried alive or they do some sort of like buried in the desert match. But the problem is like if they wait till sacrifice to do it, well, they'll be out of Vegas. So
they're going to be at
Windsor. Windsor, Ontario is near the Detroit border.
All right. Stupid American. Is there a lot of ice? Do people get buried under the ice or is it more like a farmland?
More like, I mean, it's not a farmland, it's a city, but like it's not much of a city. Put it like this. I looked into possibly going to Windsor for the tapings and for sacrifice. I live in Toronto. It's a 4-hour train ride. I ain't doing it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Unless Jimmy and Sean want to send me all the way to Windsor. No, I ain't doing that for the weekend.
Jimmy and Sean, you got Team Joestar. I'll go in his suitcase. Come on. I'm so small.
You need a passport first. What is it with all of my co-hosts not having passports? What is wrong with y'all? I don't get it.
Every year I say I'm gonna go get a passport. I don't go nowhere. I'm poor, Joel. I'm a poor wrestling journalist that doesn't ask the hard-hitting questions, Joel, okay?
I ask wrestlers about bagels and weird places they have matches. You think I'm serious? I ain't serious on my best day.
I'm actually 8 octopuses dressed up as a black woman, so we're both unserious right now. So
Jonathan Gresham over here, by the way, who's going to be in, he's going to be in action next week against Kushida, and then Sami Callihan faces Rhino, and next week for the Knockouts World Championship, Mickie James, Giselle Shaw, and that'll have a sacrifice implications because the winner faces Jordynne Grace for the Knockouts World Championship at the show that's coming up in March.
Sacrifice! 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 Thank you.
Once again, Drew White has got this for us. All right. And of course, Kate asks, why hasn't Scott D'Amore fired Velveteen Dream? Because there's an investigation pending. I can't do a Scott D'Amore. I can't do a Scott D'Amore, but I was about to do a Triple H. Like, we're looking into it. It's really important that that's going to turn into Stu Hart. I'm tired. Anyway.
Velveteen, I got the answer for you, Kate. Because we, as the police, we investigated the police and found that the police did nothing wrong. That's your answer.
For the Impact Tag Team Championships, Motor City Machine Guns, Ace of Base, we have new tag team champions. It's why we're here. It's why we're here. It's why we do this, because for weeks, for months, for a long time, you and I, Cresta, talked about Ace of Base and that Impact Tag Team Championship. We gave every single opportunity for this to happen, and they picked tonight to do it. This was such a good match. This was such a fun match. The title change happens. We can go beat by beat, but for now, what do you think of this match? Personally, I thought it was a blast. I really enjoyed it. Give me your opening thoughts.
I like this match. Jokes aside, when I said, well, what was going to be your main event? My only negative critique about this match is that I wish it happened on the pay-per-view. I feel like, yes, it's cool that it happened in Chris Bay's hometown. There's a lot of history there for Ace Austin. And the wrestling was superb. So before we get into that, but I just feel like there's a little bit more stank on it when you went on a pay-per-view. There's a little bit more judge on it. And if you were planning to give it to them anyway, I could still see a world where you flip the matches, where you still have Bullet Club versus Time Machine on tonight's show, and you have them change titles on the pay-per-view. But besides that, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. We got to where we was going. I've been saying for weeks now I wanted Chris Bay to win this. Aces of Bays. I'm sorry. The Ace and Bay connection.
No, they're Ace of Bays. Don't you dare. Don't give in to him, Pat. They're Ace of Bays.
I'm giving it to fan pressure. What can I do?
No.
But I think they've gotten better every week. Every week. And also, Motor City Machine Guns was kind of wrestling smarmy tonight. Was that just me? Were they giving a little heel? I mean, they always give it a little stank on it, but tonight had an extra stank on it.
So, yes, they were. But also keep in mind the history that comes in with doing this match in Vegas. Chris Bay's from there. Ace Austin debuted there. They really set it up so that there would be a bit of a changing of the guard, and also a bit of different workings. And the Bullet Club was working face by and large for this particular match, and the Motor City Machine Guns did kind of work a little heel. At the same time, if in wrestling tradition the heels call the match, well, Motor City would have called the match. They're also the veterans in the ring, so there was some really good stuff here. I think this was the place to do it because of the history of Vegas for both members of Bullet Club. It just made sense. Uh-huh. And M.A. Solko with a Humper Chat saying that this was a top 5 match for him. I don't want to see a heel Saban, but the slow burn heel tactics were a masterclass. And that's it. And yeah. The crowd was not having Motor City Machine Guns. And Solko was there, right? Saying 90% were there for Ace of Base. We will not be calling them ABC.
I will say you heard the crowd try to shout out Motor City, but every time the 5 people were trying to chant, the hundreds of others were like, no.
Bullet Club, that's right.
Yeah.
They did some cool stuff. They were telling some stories about, you know, Chris Bay sleeping on a friend's kitchen floor by mm-hmm. the oven, which was a weird place to sleep on a floor, but hey,
why not? Oh, if it's cold?
Yeah,
it's listen, if it's cold and like if you were in Vegas, I don't know how the desert gives it up. I've never been to Vegas. So if someone wants to sponsor myself and Joel to go to Vegas, I will fit in a suitcase. I can go there. So then let's go. Come on. Chris Vegas, invite us. but if you're cold, it makes sense. Like I've slept definitely by a heater. I'm always cold. So to his adversity, just them putting him over, I'm like, if they don't win tonight, I think this Impact crowd I sent this set is a place on fire.
Yeah. The Guns were early with a lot of quick tagging in and out, and then Ace of Base eventually get back into it. They have a ton of double team work on Shelly, and then they hit a double middle rope dive on both members of Motor City Machine Guns, which is a lot of fun. Shelly does the thing. Okay, so you know how Ace Austin always does that one move where he's out on the ring apron,
the handstand, and
does the handstand.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. Finally, Shelly, using veteran awareness, knocks him as he's on his hands going for that handstand mm-hmm. kick combo. Perfect. I haven't seen it. I needed to see it. I got so used to seeing Ace Austin do that, where Shelly finally like knocking it over. That looked good. Saban Shelly going for the chops and then hitting the posts each time when they went after Bay was fun. And then they did the double hot tag for Ace Austin and Chris Sabin, which I enjoy because those two have a lot of history. We talked about it earlier with the t-shirt and everything. And there was just great timing. It was the right point in the match. And then we finally start to bring it home. Sabin does the dropkick doomsday device. It looks sexy. And then they hit the shell shock Shelly does into a 2.9 and then immediately goes into a Border City stretch. While he's in the stretch, Sabin hits a cradle shock on Ace mm-hmm. as Bay rolls up Shelly. But we get the Art of Finesse into the fold. Bay gets the pin. Ace of Bays are the tag team champions. I'm excited. I'm happy. That Toronto crowd, if they get to see Ace of Bays with those tag team championships, don't know who they're going to face, but I think that they're going to be very much for Ace Austin and Chris Bay, who are really, they've been tent poles for Impact Wrestling for the last few years, especially Ace Austin. I'm excited for these two. I think it's great timing. They deserve it. Motor City Machine Guns are fine in the loss. They also still have those New Japan Strong Openweight tag titles to deal with. What do you think? What are we going to do next with these two?
To touch on the hand post, I will say there's only Impact Wrestling is where I think people really be using their big brain planes. Cause I've seen that too with Samoa Joe when there people are like, I'm gonna die. He just said, why would I stand there? Why would I let you put your hand up and do, why wouldn't I just let you face plant? That's really big brain plays, but that also goes to speak of how Motor City Machine Guns think about wrestling, whether it's heel or face, whatever it is, I'm trying to win because I want to be champion. I'm excited to see where Ace of Bays goes, but it kind of brings me back to the same problem I have with the Knockouts division. Who are your tag teams now? Because I know you got Heath and Rhino. Major players are gone. So now you have the Design, who may operate under Freebird. But besides that, Raj Singh and Indashir?
Shira, sorry. Shira from NXT.
Oh, sorry. Or Shira, who else? Are you going to Moose and Brian Myers? Moose, who every time he's in a team, he screws someone over, Moose?
I'm trying to think who could work. Or you bring someone in.
Or have Decay separate from the X division and have them just do tags like they were doing tonight.
Yeah, and you see Good Hands is another one in the chat that makes a lot of sense. Skylar and Hotch, we talked about that. If they rack up some wins and they start breaking away from Bully and they start really, becoming a legitimate tag team, then they're another threat to the Impact World Tag Championships. I would be fine with the Good Hands taking it from Ace of Bays after both teams kind of, Ace of Bays build the titles and build themselves as faces, and Good Hands start building themselves as a credible heel tag team, not just these bitches.
I could see that after the summer, maybe going into the winter, into the new year. And if it doesn't happen before the new year, it happens in 2024, because that'll be a great lead up. And now that we've said all these tag teams out loud, I feel like a jabroni because I was wrong.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think there could be more. It's just that they haven't put a lot of emphasis on other teams, or those other teams have kind of done single stuff or gone by the wayside, right? Mm-hmm. So they need some sort of team to come in and be that extra oomph. They brought in the Hex for the one defense. They can bring in Aussie Open again and have them, have a good match against Bullet Club. That would be fine. There's a lot of stuff that they can bring in. And if they're going to keep doing New Japan crossovers, then why not bring in a couple of New Japan tag teams from either the junior or the heavyweight division and have them face off? Kazarian could put together a tag team partner, maybe have some fun with that.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I wouldn't mind seeing an SCU reunion because for their brief stint in AEW, I really liked what they did. And I think Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, even though like Motor City Machine Guns have walked that walk before many a time holding hands, I don't hate it. I think they're great together. But overall, I can't wait to see where this goes. I think, like you said, Motor City Machine Guns, whether they win or lose, they are a phenomenal team. And especially if they lose, whoever they lose to, you're definitely putting that team over. I can't wait to see what Ace and Bay do with the tag team titles going forward. And maybe, you know, they'll appear in New Japan defending it. Maybe they'll take the other titles off of Motor City Machine Gun. Hell, they might even show up on AEW.
No, I don't think that. Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian, that's another one, because Scorp was
he was a part of the original SCU.
He was. It was him, Kazarian, and Christopher Daniels. That was it. But okay. He was also backstage at No Surrender, Fightful Select reported. So I'm not saying Scorp was there to work. He could have been there to visit. But my point being, if Scorp is looking for something to do and he can get away from not being on AEW programming, then there's
a
new for you.
I agree. I think Impact gets a lot of flack, but I've literally seen people who I've written off from other promotions go to Impact, completely rehabilitate their image, quote unquote, just for the same places that will like get gone, be like, I need you come back. So it's like I'm not going to discredit anyone or anything when it comes to Impact, because Impact literally Impact turns quote unquote trash into treasure. And I don't like to call anyone trash. I don't think anyone's trash, but people come to Impact and people are like, well, I don't care about this person. And then 2 years later, oh my God, this person's so good. And then the same place is like, come back. Nah. So I trust Impact to know.
One of those guys just competed for the All Atlantic Championship on Dynamite this past Wednesday.
Come on now.
Big old Bill. And as we close out tonight, Sulko with a super chat. Have you watched the Josh Alexander documentary? I haven't watched it yet. It is in my queue, ready to watch either tonight or tomorrow morning. I hear it's fantastic. Go out of your way to watch it. It's on Fight Network in Canada. I don't know where you can find it online, but I'm sure it's been uploaded somewhere for public consumption. I don't know if you've seen it yet. Have you seen the Josh Alexander documentary?
I have not. I heard about it. I thought it was on The Ultimate Insiders, because I do have a bunch of things. That's something I feel like I could listen to passively. But the little bit I do know of Josh Alexander, I'd be interested in hearing about him more, from his time in the North to winning the X Division, choosing option C to where he is at now. Even when he won the title, just to get beat by Moose to lose it like that next day or that same night.
Yeah. Oh, it's on the Impact Wrestling YouTube channel. It's free.
Come on now. I do some drag stuff later on, so I'll definitely be listening to that. What goes better together? Wrestling and drag.
He's had a hell of a run, and so have we here tonight. Thank you for hanging out with us. Cresta, let's get out of here. Tell the people where they can find you on the internet.
You guys can find me here every Thursday with the bestest, the freshest, the coolest, not the tallest, I don't know, Joe Pearl, every Thursday here at 10 p.m. We cover everything Impact Wrestling that happens. Friday, sometimes you can catch me as well, covering the post Impact pay-per-view shows. Mondays and Wednesdays, I am live on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/CrestaStar. Unfortunately, I don't do Gaming Gone Weird anymore because my big boy job got me like this. So I got to be an adult during the day now, and it's unfortunate. Joel, where can they find you out in the intertubes of the ether?
I ain't hard to find. I'm at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-R-L. I'm here every Thursday night with Cresta, and then I'm over on Fightful Overbooked. Go to youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked. Myself and Jeremy Lambert drop Newsworthy every week. Kate and I do a show every week. Last week, we went 2 hours for some ungodly reason. We just kept talking. And this weekend, we have a ton of AEW Revolution content. There's betting odds, there's watch alongs, there's so much stuff. Go check it out. Fightful Overbooked. I need you to see it. I need you to subscribe to it. Go right now. In fact, you know what? I'm going to click end broadcast. Y'all are going to go to Fightful Overbooked. Go check it out. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Go check out Fightful Overbooked right now. Right now.
Shut the click.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.